This episode of the One Board Family Podcast is brought to you by Murder on the Cosmic Express. Looking for a social deduction game but don't have a lot of time? This one only takes 5 minutes. Check it out on Amazon or at your favorite local game store today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the One Board Podcast. I am Rick White, and joining me is the winner of Season 8 of Dancing with the Stars, Ryan Gutowski. How are you, Ryan?
Came in like a dark horse. No one saw me coming. I hid in the crowd, and then when one of them was eliminated because of an injury, I stepped up and I said, let me show you how to tango.
Right, exactly.
And that's how I got
onto
the show.
Now, we won't mention that this was Dancing with the Stars, Azerbaijan. You know, and the competition was a little less intense, but, you know.
A lot less famous people.
Yes, yeah. At least people that you had never heard of.
Exactly. You know? Most of which I cannot pronounce their names.
Yeah, I don't know that I know anything about Azerbaijan other than I like the name of it.
Yeah, it's a good name. It's a good name.
Yeah, so there you go.
So what's up, Rick? How have you been?
You know, I am good, you know, living that father life, you know, sleeping when I can, working when I can. No, we had a good time. The grandparents came and took care of the baby, and Sarah and I went on our first little outing without the baby.
Nice.
And got to go shopping and doing some stuff. So.
That's cool.
Had a good time. Yeah.
This weekend, Bob and myself, we went over to Dice Drop Games weekend. They do a weekend thing it's like an annual event that they do. And so we had a really good time this weekend playing some games, meeting some people. We met some people from Macon, Milledgeville, and Atlanta, saw some people, some faces that we've seen before. So we had a good weekend too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get to hear about some of the games you got to play.
Yes, sir.
Here in a little while. But, you know, we do like to start off with what you've been playing. So, yeah, you know what? Why wait? Let's just jump right into it, Ryan. Tell us what you have been playing, sir.
Let me tell you about a game called Smartphone Inc. This is also known...
It sounds like you've just been playing on your smartphone.
Yes. This is also known as Ryan's biggest Kickstarter regret.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so Smartphone Inc. is Cosmodrone Games, I believe. This is a really good game,
We'll just say yes.
Yes, I think it is. This is a really good game. This was one that we saw at Origins, but we didn't get to sit down and play because there was always people there and a line and everything. So I was like, you know what? I'll get to play it eventually. Didn't get around to it. And then we got an opportunity through Punchboard Media to get a copy of Smartphone Inc. And as it's made its rounds, the prototype's amazing. Really, really great quality. And essentially what you're doing is you're running a smartphone company. You're running a cell, like you've got Sprint, you've got your Verizon, you've got your Cricket Mobile, you know, stuff like that. And you're running a company, a worldwide, a global company, and you're trying to move into different areas of the world. You're trying to put headquarters in different areas of the world. You're working your way through, you know, with this economy. There's this economy about the game where each nation will allow you. So let's say you go to the United States. Obviously, people are all about technology in the United States, so there will be a group. There's groups of people that are wanting the technology aspect of things, but then there's also the people who will just pay straight up for the price of the phones. So as you produce these smartphones, as you produce product, you are selling to different groups of people based on what your price is that round.
Okay.
And so you play a total of 5 rounds, and each round you start off by setting a price. And so you can outprice yourself. You can like have too high of a price, and you can really mess yourself up. In an epic failure, you know, yesterday, I played Smartphone Inc. and I was winning handily. I was winning by probably 50 points. The majority of the game. At one point, I was 50 to 60 points ahead. I was like, I got this in the bag, no big deal. I'm going to try to boost the price of my cell phones toward the end in the last round. Let me see if I can just make a big final push and make a lot of money in this last round. Everybody undercut me, sold cheaper phones, moved in all around the world, and I was only able to ship two crates of phones and ended up losing by quite a bit. Like, everyone passed me. I mean, it was...
You know what? You fool, you fool.
It was bad. Like, I felt like I was running a company. I love the theme of it because you feel like everything that you do, like all these little decisions that you're making can either ruin your company or make it thrive. And I ruined my company in the last year.
Because you got greedy.
I really did. I really did. So,
there you go.
But it was Smartphone Inc. has been a fantastic game. I really regret not jumping on the Kickstarter. I guess my only hope is that Origins next year, there will be a supply of them, hopefully, that I'll be able to get my hands on. So that is my hope. So it comes out in February.
Or we'll find somebody and steal it.
Or just steal it. Just go to their house and be like, hey, well, I'm going to take that.
Go to a board game meetup of some sort and be like, I don't know. Like, you know, just if we were playing it, we totally put it back.
It's a pretty large game.
We don't do that, people. We don't do that.
Yeah, it's a pretty large game. I don't know if this is one that I could just, like, tuck into, like, you know, my pocket.
Like, zip it up in a jacket.
Yeah, just put it in a jacket.
Sir, what is that? Excuse me, are you commenting on the shape of my body? This is not okay.
This is not like, okay. I need an adult.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah. So I have a rectangular shaped torso.
What's wrong with that?
Not any fault of yours. Well, that sounds pretty cool. Yeah, and you know, it sounds like it kind of plays with the idea of, you know, companies are always releasing new phones every year and let's mess with, you know, everybody wanting the newest thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it sounds pretty thematic.
One of the things that I like about it is you are putting money into R&D, so that research and development track. If you're not researching and if you're not developing new technologies, you're going to be left behind because then you'll only be able to sell to people based on price and you won't be able to get into the markets where people want Wi-Fi and 4G and NFC and, you know, different technologies that are out there. So I'm really digging the way that they put that game together and it is a fantastic experience. I've played it, I think, 6 or 7 times, and we've only had the prototype for 3 weeks. So, Dang. Yeah. I mean, it's been every time somebody says smartphone, I'm like, yep, let's go. So,
well, I like that you say you've played it 6 or 7 times, and I have not played games 6 or 7 times in the past month. I'm getting on it, though. I'm making this happen. I will make more board games happen at my house. But I am continuing my trend of forcing Sarah to play a game with me right before we record so that I have something to talk about. This time it was Tussie Mussie, which is from Buttonshy Games and is from Elizabeth Hargrave, who did a Will It Game episode with us around the time this was kickstarting, and also did Wingspan, which, you know, was the kind of, I would say, I mean, probably the biggest hit of this year so far. Yeah. I can't really think of anything else that's kind of blown that up. But yeah, and also has art by your favorite Ryan, Beth Sobel.
Yes, Beth Sobel's art.
So it, for 18 cards for a game, you know, that's a lot of, you know, things that we really like inside of a game. So Tussie Mussie, the theme is around in the Victorian times, sending flowers being used as a way to subtly communicate messages without being caught so that you can kind of express your love for someone without other people knowing it. So what you're doing is you are building a bouquet of flowers or collecting keepsakes. And so there are 18 flower cards and they've got, some of them are worth points. Some of them have flavor text that impacts how you score. And so on a turn, you'll take 2 cards from the top of the deck, look at them, and then present those 2 cards to another player. In a 2-player game, it's just the other person. In a 3 or 4-player game, you play to your left and then you play to your right. But basically, the other person sees one face-up card, sees the face down. They decide which one they want to keep. So they'll add that to their collection, and the other one goes to the person that presented it. So kind of like a sharing mechanic a little bit. And then you do that until you've got 4 cards. And then after that, any cards that you took that were face down. You get to look at them, but you have to keep them face down. But they move into what are called the keepsake area, and the other ones that are face up are part of your bouquet. You then flip over all your cards, and the different cards can give you points based on having hearts on them, or they can say things like, you know, plus 1 point for each card in your bouquet, or plus 1 point for each keepsake that is purple, or something like that. And so you'll quickly add up your points. It won't be a whole lot, and then you play again. Took Sarah and I about 15, 20 minutes to play, and Sarah beat me pretty bad. But it's fun. It's, you know, light. It didn't take a lot of, you know, thought on each turn. And the only thing that kind of frustrated me was you're somewhat limited because you've only got, you know, two cards. Sometimes it can be that there is no good card to add to your bouquet. So like I had a card that said I would get plus 3 points if none of my cards had hearts on them. Mm-hmm. And I drew two cards, both of which had hearts. So there was going to be no way for that card to work.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of frustrating, but you know, not a huge deal. But yeah, it's a good game. It's one, again, Button Shy. They specialize in wallet games. Yep. It's something that you can easily take with you to a restaurant, sit down and play, and, you know, add it to that little group of games if you're wanting some variety in that.
That's cool. Yeah, it looks really good. And I feel like Button Shy does a great job of turning around games that have that, like, low impact on the table, you know, enough fun that, you know, you carry it with you and you want to take it with you when you go out to eat and stuff. And you can even sit around the house and play it, you know. That's really cool. Yeah. I'm glad that you... And this was this fulfilled through Kickstarter already, correct?
Yes, yes. That's where I got mine. It's got a solo expansion. I don't play a lot of solo games, but I'm finding I might have to start.
Gotcha.
Because it's been harder to get people, get time with people to play games. But yeah, I mean, it's a good one. And one that I think I've recommended that people check out Button Shy. It's something that even people in the gaming community don't necessarily know about. And there's definitely some good stuff that could be found in those small, 18 card packs that I think is worth checking out.
So, Rick, we have a topic of the show. We're going to be talking about game themes. What themes are you most excited about right now? What game themes are you tired of? And what do you want more of? So we're going to be answering those questions on the other side of this break. Rick, you had this idea of talking about game themes and kind of like the things that we really enjoy playing. You know, what do we look for in a game theme? What are we attracted to? So won't you lead us into this conversation, man?
Yeah, game themes and game mechanics, we've talked about mechanics a lot. But I think if you're not really enjoying what the game is about and being able to immerse yourself in what the game is about, I think sometimes, at least for me, I can have a difficult time connecting with that game. And sometimes, even if a game is not, you know, perfect, if the theme is there, I can find myself enjoying it. And I really want to make sure that we see... I've enjoyed seeing more creative themes in the past few years.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it used to be you'd see just a few themes, just different coats of paint on them. And I think that there are different themes that have been explored in recent years. So I wanted to talk about some that we've enjoyed, some things that, you know, maybe we're tired of, and, you know, celebrate and bring to light some of the themes that have come out that need some attention. So the first, we've got a few questions here where you and I are going to be picking our favorite things. So the first one that I put was the theme that you're most excited about right now.
Okay, so...
So Ryan, what is for you?
Yeah, mine would be nature. The reason why I say that is Wingspan was obviously a huge hit this year, but also Parks from Keymaster Games. It's such a serene game. It's such a enjoyable experience, and it, like... just the artwork and everything just comes together so well and reminds you, man, nature is really freaking beautiful. You know, go outside, look at some trees, go you know,
go outside,
stare at a deer, you know. but I really dig some of the nature games that are out now, and I think that they are some of the most popular games, or some of the they're rising to prominence, and I really like that. You know, I don't know that we would have seen so many park oriented games or nature themed games 10 years ago, and I really like that theme.
Yeah, I mean, I might even throw in like Cold Water Crown into nature.
Oh yeah,
I know it's like fishing, but I mean, you've got like a lot of the. I don't know. I could be wrong. You've played it, and I haven't.
I love Cold Water Crown, and I hate fishing. Like, that is one of those games, and I said it in my review, Cold Water Crown, and also the follow-up, Freshwater Fly, that game is incredible, you know? And I don't care a single thing about fly fishing. My brother loves it, but I don't care anything about it. But I will play that game anytime somebody has it.
Yeah, and I feel like there's definitely still that nature connection there. And then, of course, you know, Tussie Mussie, like I just talked about, you know, you've got the flowers in there. And it features the flowers, you know, that's the card. It's got the artwork and everything. So, yeah, I definitely think it kind of gives this peaceful kind of serene vibe, like you said. You know, that's a good one. Good choice, sir. I applaud
you, sir.
Choice.
What about you?
The one I put was Christmas. Now, part of it might be the time of the year, but I've always thought it a little odd that there's not a lot more Christmas games out there. You know, when our buddy Chad Elkins put out Christmas Lights, I was thinking, you know, this is perfect. There's not a ton of games that are just, you kind of orient around the holiday season. And, you know, people love Christmas specific things, Christmas movies, you know, that are always huge. People, what is it? Hallmark has already started releasing them, you know, all the time. And I looked on my XM satellite radio and there's already three Christmas stations up kind of scattered around. So I love that theme. So Christmas Lights, you know, we had a good time with Home Alone. The game was a sneak up hit for us last year. And I love it. I love that it's got that kind of Christmas sweater look to it. And I would be all about even more Christmas games, you know, we got some or other holidays, you know, I'm not picky, you know, but let's have some Santa based games. Let's have, you know, we're making toys in the toy shop or something like that. I don't care. I don't know anything on the horizon that's coming, but I would love to see more Christmas games.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, there are reskins of games that you could do. I remember what I think last year, or the year before, a map for Christmas, that people can play Ticket to Ride on, know? And so stuff like that. I like that. I like having that option because we gather with family members so much over the next, over these 2 months where, you know, let's get together and let's play some family games and that has snow on them and stuff like that. Cause I definitely, you know me, I mean, the whole month of October, I'm playing horror themed games and monsters and, you know, all kinds of mystery games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I could definitely see playing Christmas games or a Christmas reskin of a game, you know, during the month of December.
Definitely. Yeah. So if you're out there wondering, what are the people asking for? Christmas games, that's the market that's wide open. Come on, people, hit it. Basically,
now, if you listen to this January 1st, just skip over this portion.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Rick, what theme are you tired of? What is the one theme that you're like, oh, cool, I'm going to skip this one because this theme sucks?
Ryan, I am tired of colonialism. I'm not going to lie. Whether it be historical colonialism or space colonies or any sort of like, I'm going to a place and we're getting resources from it.
Space colonialism is the worst. The powdered wigs up under the space helmets.
Exactly. Yes. Hate it. Yes. The treating poorly the native Martians when you find them. I mean, it's... Obviously, there's some historical, you know, parts to it that's not great in and of itself, but it's also like, I don't know, I'm still amazed when I go on Kickstarter and something will pop up every now and then that's like, you know, you are, you know, setting sail and finding these islands and going to collect resources. Yeah. I'm like, hasn't this been done forever? And aren't we ready to move on? And also, like, it's, I don't know, to me, it's just not something that I'm super interested in. I'm I don't want to run my own little plantation or something like that. And I know there's some classic games that hit this theme. And I'm not saying that they're all bad. I don't think we need any more of them. Let's take a break. You know, I haven't seen any new spins that really catch my attention that make me want to go back to the theme. So let's take a break, people. Let's lay off of the colonialism for a little bit.
Gotcha. I would have to say, I'm getting tired of space games.
Yeah.
I have some space games that I love. Space Park, Space Base. I love Junk Orbit as a pickup and deliver game. Like, I love those games. They're really, really good. Space Explorers. That's an excellent game. But I think that just slapping the finish of, oh, there's these things and you're in space. Get from one place to another. I think I'm tired of it being the default, you know, and I feel like space is the default sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not zombies, it's space, you know, and so
if you arranged your games alphabetically, you'd have like 7 that start with the word space. Just in a row.
So instead of it being a default theme, let's skip the space thing and let's see if we can come up with something else, you know.
Definitely. And that's those something else's are things that you and I are about to talk about. Themes that we want more of. So, Ryan, if we're not going to be doing space, what is a theme that we want to be finding?
So I really like building and inventing things. You know, we just tonight we played Gizmos. I haven't played Gizmos in about 6 months. Gizmos is awesome. I love the engine building of it. And I know that there are a lot of building, inventing games. But, I mean, Gizmos is very accessible because my sister-in-law and my brother were over tonight. And she was like, I was like, well, what's a game that you guys really enjoyed? And my sister-in-law, Lauren, looked at the shelf. She said, Gizmos. I really like that game. And she only played it once. I was like, yeah, let's play it. So we played it, had a great time this weekend at Dice Drop Weekend. Bob and I played. Bob taught me how to play Fantastic Factories. It was really good. I really enjoyed that game. You're building, you've got this engine building thing where you're producing these crates, and it's not the strongest theme in the world, but a game like Chocolate Factory has a crazy theme. This is Alley Cat Games. This was one of the last things that we played this past Saturday when we were at Dice Drop. We played Chocolate Factory, and you're producing, you have this assembly line where the crates are going down this assembly line, and it's going from chocolate, it's going from raw chocolate to a chocolate block to chocolate chunks to fingers to, like, it's so cool to see this process happen right in front of you on your board. And I think that if we put some really good minds together, we could produce some really cool inventing and building games and encourage people to learn the process behind some of the things that we interact with every day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it reminds me of Victorian Masterminds, which we played at CMON Expo, which was kind of cool, kind of fit in that same theme.
Yep.
And another one that I like is a game called Great Scott, which is you take cards and they are like different descriptor words and you put them all together and you have to describe what, when you have 5 cards at the end, you have to describe what invention that you've made and describe what it does. And then you award points based on who did the best at doing that. Those kinds of games. Yeah. I like that. The idea of kind of getting around, there's some pretty cool games in that category too, that I think, we can see people going through. The one I put for theme I want more of is Western.
Okay.
Because the one that I thought of was Cult Express, and I really like Cult Express.
Yeah.
I like that, you know, theme of shootout and, you know, and I mean, the only one that I'm really excited about right now. I know there are others, but like that kind of feel of, you know, going out and gunslinging and getting in a fight and stealing stuff, like that makes me the Wild West, maybe, is what I'm looking for. Great Western Trail is Western. But, I mean, it's a little calm and tame, I guess, for my, you know, for what I'm really thinking. I want something that has a little bit of that, you know, villainy a little bit in it. So I don't know You know, there is also the flicking game. Flick 'em up. Yeah, that also works as well. That would be a good one also in the theme that I'm looking for. You know, where you've got some bandits and you got some heroes and you got to take some folks out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's cool. And there's a bunch of different ones with different weights. I mean, Western legends, and then you have something simple and casual like Flick 'em Up, you know. That's a theme that I feel like it's funny because somebody told me the other day, they were like, are you addicted to Western themed games? I was like, why do you say that? I just realized that I had 2 cubes in our board game shelves, nothing but Western themed games. Hadn't even thought about it. We have Colt Express and we have, what is it? Old West Impresario. And we have, what is the betting game, from,
Yes. Most Wanted.
Yeah. So it's like, it just so happened that it wasn't intentional, you know, finger guns, you know, that's another one. Like, oh yeah, I do own some Western games, you know, and I really enjoy all of them, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah. So maybe it's Rick needs to just get his hands on more Western games. Maybe they're out there, but I mean, I really like that idea of kind of, like you said, like, I still haven't played Finger Guns, and I probably would love it, so.
Man, you would have a blast with Finger Guns.
Yeah. We gotta make these things happen. We gotta make it happen.
We do. So, Rick, tell me about your favorite thematic series.
Yeah, I asked this one because I love the idea of a series of board games where, you know, just like a movie and its sequel, you've got a singular theme running through, so. The first one that popped in my mind was Burgle Bros and then Fugitive. So Burgle Bros is one of my favorite games, has, you know, you're working cooperatively to try to rob a building. And then Fugitive is supposed to be like one of those thieves running away from a cop. So it's an asymmetrical two-player game. It actually was on the part four two-player games list that I just, you know, posted to the website. But it's... And it's got that theme. Burgle Bros 2 is just finished up a Kickstarter, mm-hmm. so that'll be coming. And there's one other one that I think is kind of loosely connected that they released last year that is a kind of runaway, like getaway kind of game. And so I like that kind of... That was almost on my themes that I want more of, was like heist games.
Yeah,
I really like that theme a lot, so... but yeah, those games, they kind of have, as far as like linking the games, it's that, you know, obviously, you know, robbery versus a getaway, those kind of are connected, and the artwork is also a good connection between those games. So I really enjoy that theme and those thematic games as they all run together.
Cool. Well, I would say, I don't know, this one was a hard one for me. Favorite thematic series. I think the one that I'm most intrigued by is the Architects of the West Kingdom, Paladins of the West Kingdom. I think that series is going really well. I jumped into Architects of the West Kingdom. These West Kingdom games are really cool, like great worker placement with a twist. Architects of the West Kingdom was probably one of my favorite finds this year. I know Bob had it as his favorite game of 2018, but when Aaron and I finally sat down and finally played this, we got a copy of it, purchased it from Dice Drop out in Macon, Georgia, and man, I loved it. I mean, we played it 3 times in a weekend. We loved it so much. We both felt really good about it. It played great at 2 players. And then Paladins is now out. And so, I don't know. It's a really good series, and it has me looking forward to. And then, yeah, and then it's got Architects has a expansion coming out in 2020. So, hitting Kickstarter. So, I don't know. I think that would probably have to be thematic series, that West Kingdom series would probably be the one. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, those are games that I've yet to play, and I really want to check them out. But I love the idea of, you know, again, the matching artwork and, you know, the look kind of all coming together.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. Certainly. All right, Ryan. So to wrap up our conversation, we're going in with favorite themes. So, Ryan, what is your favorite theme right now in board games?
I got to go City building. City building has been my favorite theme for a long time. Quadropolis, Suburbia, you know, Town Builder, Corveda. I can't remember the city's name, but that one just fulfilled on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I love building cities. I love the feel of connecting things to other things and making everything work together and seeing this final product where you look at the city and you're like, man, that's real good. You know, anytime I see a city building game, I stop. I'm like, hold on. I got to read up on this. I got to see if I need this, you know. Unfortunately, I feel like there are so many city building games lately that I don't know which one to go with. You know, I think I keep adding them to my wish list, and then I'm like, oh, but this one says that it's a lighter version of this one, and it says this one has different mechanics than this one. Do I need it? I don't know. And so,
I just buy them all and Aaron gets really unhappy.
So Rick, you don't know this, but one of my biggest pet peeves right now is that I have not had anybody beat me in Quadropolis in almost a year.
Ooh.
And so I need somebody to beat me in Quadropolis because the last couple of times I've played Quadropolis, I've won just like experimenting and playing around, and I need somebody to beat me in Quadropolis
to step it up,
because I wanna love that game again. So,
and it's not as much fun if people aren't challenging you. Yeah.
I feel like it's one of those games. I teach it, and then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna win this one. So,
yeah, understandable. Well, Ryan, my favorite theme right now is detective/mystery. Now, I've always been one that has loved this in all aspects of media, I guess. I mean, I grew up watching Unsolved Mysteries as a child. Should I have been allowed to watch that at 7 or 8 years old? I'm not really sure.
No.
Probably not. Is that Robert Stack? Is that the guy's name that was on there?
Yeah. And super creepy.
Yeah. And maybe that was why I was always afraid as a kid of people breaking into our house and stealing me. It's because that's the only thing that I knew happened to children is that they were stolen. Because that's the television I watched. So mom and dad, if you're listening, this is all your fault. But no, but I've really liked that. You know, Sherlock Holmes is one of my favorite characters of all time. And so, you know, Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective has been our favorite game for a while. But for a long time, it kind of sat by itself as a game that you kind of solve mysteries together. In that way, but I think with the addition now of Detective and Chronicles of Crime, this theme has really kind of opened it up. Also, you could probably throw Time Stories in there, I think. This, you know, solving a crime, trying to figure out who did what, figure out the best way to go about doing something. Time Stories, again, a little more fringe, but it's really kind of puts you in the position of a detective, and I really like that kind of solving a puzzle and trying to figure it out and trying to, you know, if you're watching a movie that's a mystery, you know, and you figure it out along the way, you can kind of have some pride about it, but you can't prove that you knew what was going on quite as well as like a game could. So I really love that theme. I think it's done really well with Chronicles of Crime. And Detective, I think it's been very well accepted. So hopefully we'll see some. I also think there's plenty of room for innovation. I think the use of electronic devices in those two games was a key part of their success. And I think that we're really just scratching the surface into what we can do with technology and board games when we play those two.
Yeah, those are, I think that's where a lot of innovation is coming from, is in those crime solving adventure type of mystery. I mean, we've seen it year over year over year, everything from escape rooms to, you know, what Chronicles of Crime did last year and Detective is doing. And so it's really good stuff. That's really cool. So we've talked about theme. Rick, we're going to be talking about a small quick game as we end this episode, and we've got a review for a small beachy game coming up for you in just a second.
Ryan, I've got a question for you, or I've got a list of questions, and I need them answered immediately, just like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop. Are you ready?
I can do this.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Ryan, do you like social deduction games?
I love social deduction games.
Yeah, yeah. You like to lie to your friends, right? I mean, it's tons of fun.
I do. It's my favorite.
And Ryan, do you like games that, you know, don't overstay their welcome?
I do like that. I like to win and go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Ryan, I think those two criteria alone qualify you to check out Murder on the Cosmic Express. This is a game that only takes 5 minutes, and it's social deduction from Screech.
Color me intrigued.
From
there.
Screech Dragon Studios. Yeah. It's a 5 minute game. You take on different roles, and there's different pieces of equipment on cards that you're passing around in a quick, you know, 5 minute session, and then you have to, each of you has a goal of certain cards you're trying to have in your possession at the end of the game. And all of this is happening with a lot of, you know, you're not necessarily given rules of things you have to say. So there's a lot of mind games you're playing with the other people. So, I mean, you know, you love playing mind games, right? I mean, you're doing that with me right now at all times, and I'm constantly terrified of you. but that's what you get to do in this game. And again, 5 minutes, you just break open the box, just a few cards, and, you know, check it out. You'll have a great time very quickly. So if you're out there and you're just like Ryan, you love social deduction games and you want a game that doesn't overstay its welcome, you should check out Murder on the Cosmic Express, available at your favorite local game store on Amazon. Check it out today. Right, and we're back. Now, Ryan, you have got a review for us today. What will you be telling us about, sir?
So Panic Island is a small little game from Blue Orange Games. It's really cool, really cute packaging. I mean, it's a tin, but not a tin. It's got a metal front and back, but it's in a zippered pouch.
It's an aluminum?
It's like an aluminum front and back with a zippered pouch. It's really cool. Like, it's travel size. It's portable. It's something that you can take on the go. In fact, the very first time that we played this, we took it on vacation with us when we went to Florida, went to the beach, stayed with a friend, and we ended up taking it with us and playing a couple times at the beach. Not on the beach, but I did do some pretty cool little shots of the game at the beach. Yeah, I did shots of Reef at the beach, the game Reef, from Next Move Games. I did some little camera work with that. Looked really nice. I've had some people actually ask me for the files for that because they really enjoyed the photography, but I still to this day find grains of sand in that box.
That's just thematic, man. That's just thematic.
Yeah, yeah. Just gotta roll with it.
So what I'm looking at as far as Panic Island, its big selling point seems to be that you can play it in 2 minutes. Ryan, how is it possible to have a game that you can play in 2 minutes that's any good?
Yeah, so Panic Island, the way that this works in 2 minutes is that you have a sand timer that's counting it down. So you're only playing as long as the sand timer's going, and that is 2 minutes long. The cool part about this game is that it's, you know, these memory games that it's like your kid gets a memory game and you're like, oh, cool, it's Dora Memory. Oh, great. I have 15 versions of this game at the house with different skins on it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, flip this over, flip that over, flip this mm-hmm. over, flip that over.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine when your kid's three. You know,
right.
But you want something that is has a little bit more depth, has a little bit more fun to it. And Panic Island is very frantic in its delivery. So what you do is you set out, you have 25 cards and you set out this grid of 5x5 cards. You actually have a volcano that you throw into the middle. This is the volcano that if anybody flips the volcano over, immediately everybody dies. It's very, very important to look around the table and say, listen, this volcano is in the very middle. Do not touch it. And when your kid touches it, you make sure you punish them.
Yes.
No.
Sorry, you have to sit in the corner because you touched the volcano. I've told you many times not to touch the volcano.
It would be hot. So anyway, so you basically choose a starting player that then play goes clockwise. You take turns really fast. On your turn, you're actually revealing two island cards, obviously not touching the middle one, which is a volcano. And so you're trying to get a certain combination. So there are natives on the island and they save the dodo birds, but then the dodo birds save the dodo bird eggs. So what you want to have happen is get the right combination. So if you're revealing a native and then you end up revealing another native, they can't save each other. They can't get each other off the island. So you're going to have to flip them back over. Okay. But when you're able to reveal something where the native saves the dodo or the dodo saves the eggs, you're able to take those off the island and they are going, they're going to be safe. The only problem is that with this 2-minute timer, as you're trying to save these things, you still have to find a raft and a oar to get off the island. Mm-hmm. If you can't find those things, no one's getting off the island. Mm-hmm. There are element cards, which are pretty cool. They've got like kind of an initial setup, which you shuffle in certain cards and it makes you do silly things, which are pretty, it's kind of like, it reminds me of Happy Salmon or Funky Chicken. It's very much a family kids type of setup. It's like there's a whirlwind and there's a slap thing that you have to do and all these different little effects that can be shuffled into the game. What's cool about it is that at some point before you run out of time, there's this thing called the Guga. I think it's a dumb name, but whatever. If everybody is collectively on board, everybody yells Guga. And what happens is this is before the 2 minutes run out. One person says, okay, a native. And if they flip over that native, they're good. They're saving that card. The next person says dodo, and they flip over an egg. They didn't get it. So there's a lot of like, you've got to pay attention for the full 2 minutes to make sure that you know. You can't just pay attention to your turn. You need to be watching the whole board. You need to really be thinking about what's out there, where is it. And I think it's a really good game for families because it's going to teach your kids pattern recognition, and it's going to teach them, you know, how to pay attention for that period of time. And it's a little frantic, you know, so as long as you're okay with that real time type of game, it's a lot of fun.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, given its memory origins, that it's good for us younger players.
Yeah. Yeah. I will tell you that the kids do a little better than we do. Whenever we play this. Yeah.
Is your memory is just not what it used to be?
Well, it's like you're sitting there and your mind's tricking you. Like, did I see it this way or that way? Was that red or was that yellow? You know, you're trying to remember what it was and you're like, oh, I'm getting old. So.
Yeah. And then you start to cry and the tears ruin the cards and all that stuff. Yeah.
I was going to mention, actually, you know, there's something pretty cool about this game. There is almost like an advanced mode that you can enter into. There's a packet of cards that come with it that they tell you not to open. they have a checklist. It's pretty cool. I actually like this a lot. They have a checklist where you should play with specific obstacles. And if you can pass these specific obstacles, and you can do this a number of times and collect a certain number of points, they say then you're ready to open up this packet. And then you open up this packet, and there's a whole bunch of variants in that packet that you can play with. That's really cool. Yeah. You know, it's almost like the game, we can beat this game. We are a well-oiled machine here. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's open up this packet and see how we get destroyed, you know?
Yeah, that's like the Magic Maze and how it's got its many different modules, and, you know, you only move forward once you've mastered the other one.
Yeah. And it's cooperative, so at the end of the game, basically how many points you collect is what level you get to. So there have been multiple times where we've gotten just beginners and, you know, collected like 3 to 4 points. And then there have been times when we've collected, you know, 8 to 10 points, you know, being experts. But we're definitely not, we're not superb or divine, which is 16 points. So
You got to step it up.
Yeah,
do you see this as a game that adults by themselves would want to play? Or do you think it's like you definitely want to have the kids around for it?
I think it's a solid filler if you're in between games for adults. Mm-hmm. So if you're waiting this, because of its time limit, because of the 2 minute time, I think it's perfect for, you know, we just finished up a game of Wingspan, you know, somebody's running to grab a pizza. Let's throw this game down. We'll play two or three times before they get back, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's kind of its place for adults, but for kids, this is definitely one that they could take to school and play with their friends. This is one that you could bring when you guys go out to eat, grab a bite to eat, you know, take it on you with, take it with you on vacation. This is one that's actually going to be traveling with us during the holidays because we see so many different family members and they're various ages. I mean, 4 years old to, you know, 80 years old. So we're going to sit around the table and hopefully get a bunch of people, different generations around the table and playing this game, you know? So it's definitely one that you want to check out.
I would Paddock love Island to see an 80-year-old and a 4-year-old play this game at the same time.
Oh, geez. That's going to be a real wreck. So
I think I would enjoy it.
I don't know. We had a pretty good wide spread of people playing Downforce. So I was able to get some older family members and some younger family members understanding Downforce a couple of years ago. So
Awesome, Ryan. So, I mean, as far as, you know, your recommendation, it sounds like if you're enjoying the real-time games, if you've got a, you know, especially if you've got younger members of the family, you should definitely be checking this game out.
Yeah, this is a quick 2 minute filler. It's definitely going to be for that person who likes to take a couple travel games with them, and games, you know, that you can throw down for a couple minutes. And if you like memory games, this is actually really good. You know, this kind of breaks the mold of some of those memory games that I remember from my childhood where I'm like, okay, this is just baby stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's also got that, because it's so short, you probably won't play just one round of it because I would guess it takes more time to get it out of the box, you know.
It really does,
But, like, it gives you more control of family game night. So if you're sitting there with younger kids and you're like, you know, we need to get them in bed or we need to get them, you know, to go take a bath or something like that, but you're wanting them to have a little bit of time to play something, you've got some control because you can really figure out how many rounds can we play. And I would guess with like setup and play time, maybe you're looking at, you know, 5 to 6 minutes for each little round. And so you have a lot more control over what his game night look like, as opposed to, you know, any other game that's, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. If you don't have that kind of time, you know, you can kind of, you play this one and, you know, like it go as long as you want.
That's exactly right. So yeah, you guys check out Panic Island from Blue Orange Games. So
sweet,
Rick, that'll do it for us on this episode of the podcast. Thanks again.
Just starting to have fun.
I know. We'll have to do this again next week.
Okay, so. If you insist.
All right. For anybody listening out there, we are so thankful for you guys checking out the podcast. Be sure to find us over at oneboardfamily.com. You can follow us on all the social media outlets, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Check us out at One Board Family. If you like live streams, head over to our Facebook and YouTube channels. We've been doing some live streams. We recently live streamed Kohaku with the publisher of the game, Andrew Smith. And so we had a really good time with that. And we're going to be doing some other live streams based around Christmas and stuff like that. Some of the games that we really enjoyed this year. So, and then at the beginning of the year, we are looking to do a day of gaming. So we're kind of in the planning stages of that one. So look for some sort of announcement on our social media channels sometime leading into the end of the year. So, and if you like what you hear, be sure to rate us on whatever your podcast platform of choice is. And if you really like us, hit us up on Patreon, patreon.com /oneboardfamily. There you can become a Patreon donor. You can let us know that, hey, you know what? Drop a couple bucks every month and support us. This goes to everything from allowing us to get to conventions to this month paying server fees for our website. Because that's a thing. That's a thing adults do.
Yes. So, it's not all fun and games, people. Sometimes we have to pay server fees.
Exactly. I looked at the bill. I was like, oh, cool. Great. I forgot it was this month.
Yeah. So we sold three board games and one of the children.
Yes. Yes. So it was just the ones we didn't like.
Yeah, exactly.
The board games.
Board games. What are you people?
Yeah, yeah. Not the kids. Anyway, thanks for joining us. And until next time, we will see you at the table.
Bye.
Punchboard Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.